Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we do our very best to find things for you to listen to because you just have never seen everything when you are involved in real estate. So today I'm excited to have Peter with us. Peter, tell everybody hello and a little bit about yourself.
Oh, hello. My name is Peter Murray. I'm a realtor with RE/MAX Results in Frederick, Maryland. I've been licensed for about 4 years, coming up on 4 years right now, Lee.
Oh, so that makes you a survivor, because if you're a consumer listening to this podcast, you should know most people who get their license, in fact, the number shows is 85% of new licensees give up within the first 2 years. So anytime you meet a realtor who's been in longer than 2 years, they're successful in surviving. And so, Peter, you're already double the people who made it. So rock on.
Well, hey, thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so before you tell your story to all our listeners, just a quick reminder of the two ground rules of the podcast. One is I don't mind salty language, but I don't like F-bombs, GDs, or see you next Tuesday because they're just too much for me. And if there is a person involved in your story that happens to be shady or guilty, just don't use their real name because, frankly, they probably can't sleep at night for their guilty conscience anyway. So with that being said, tell us what your crazy thing is that has occurred to you.
Okay, so here we go. And I'm not a big fan of the rules either, so we'll all be on the same page. So I'm showing houses to a buyer in a limited inventory market. Maryland's a pretty busy market, and homes are not lasting long. And if they're appropriately priced, you know, they're going really quickly. I don't know how they are in your neck of the woods, but the average or the median days on market in my market, 22 days. So in this one particular market that I was showing houses in, the sellers are buying like 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath houses, and they're tearing them down, and they're building these like 5-bedroom, 4.5-bath houses to accommodate for larger homes. So because we're in a service industry, I'm always trying to accommodate for my clients. And this is no exception because I'd worked with this buyer on a previous transaction. I helped them with their current property.
Sure.
But my buyer was out of state. They didn't live here anymore. They moved out of state and now they're moving back. So the best way to show this house was via FaceTime. Have you ever done a FaceTime showing, Lee?
I have. It's especially good if you have one spouse with you and the other spouse may be out of town or in a trailing situation where they're not there yet. But yeah, it's a wonderful way to use technology.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I also agree with you that you need another party with you. You just do, because you can't, as a real estate salesperson, you can't effectively describe a house that somebody wants to buy. But anyways, there I was. I armed myself with my iPhone and my laser tape measure for us to do these FaceTime showings. So I set 3 showings up because that's what they wanted. They wanted to look at 3 houses that day. One was a complete teardown that was still under construction. One was a teardown that was renovated probably about 5-10 years ago, and it's starting to kind of look a little bit tired. And then one was a brand new teardown with all the bells and whistles. It was a really fancy home. And at the first showing of the day, I was set to meet the listing agent for the first teardown property, which was the one that was under construction. I let him know about the FaceTiming thing, so that way he wouldn't be too nervous. Because sometimes when you show up with technology or with your client on the other side of the phone, and it just their face, it makes people nervous. So I wanted to make sure that he was okay with that first, and he was. But when I pulled up, I didn't realize how much it really was under construction. It was still a construction zone. So to paint you the picture, there's no siding on this house. The front yard's just a mud pit, and the roof isn't fully on the house. So you know, it's very much under construction. And I follow your advice, Lee. I try to dress up for all my showings. So I'm wearing like a shirt, a tie, my Cole Haan shoes. You know, I'm not like wearing a fancy suit, but I'm definitely presentable, and I got my little realtor attire on, right? So that way people know, hey, that guy right there, that's the realtor. So the showing's going great. And my buyer sees out of the corner of his eye, he goes, is that a deck back there? And I said, well, yeah, there's a deck. So he goes, let me see the back of the house from the deck. So I walk out of the deck real proud. and fearless and straddling all these joists, kind of like walking out on the deck. And he's like, that looks great. That looks great, Peter. Can I see it from a different angle from the backyard? So I was like, well, sure. Of course we can go look at it from the backyard. So I hop down from this deck, and I'm very careful because the whole backyard now is just little mud pits. It's very dirty. It's very muddy. And I've got my dress shoes on. You know, I'm like, I'm looking okay. And we have two more showings to go to, so I can't get incredibly muddy. It's not like I'm ready to go just play in the mud. No, I'm out there working for my client, trying to show them this house and not get muddy. So I'm very careful to avoid all these mud pits. And I'm walking through the backyard, making sure he gets all these shots. And he's asking me questions. I'm relaying the questions to the listing agent, and it's going great. So I'm starting to head back now from the shot that I got from the backyard, heading back towards the house. And I'm carefully avoiding the mud pits, but I get a little bit overconfident. And I start stepping on these little 2x4s that are kind of like, I don't know, they're just scattered in the backyard, just kind of like haphazardly thrown there. But they're great little islands of mud relief for me and my shoes. So that way I could just make my way back to the house. So,
but they weren't laid out in like a pattern for a bridge or a path. You're just jumping from one to the other.
Yeah. It was quite entertaining.
Like a good game of Frogger.
What's that? What'd you say?
It's like a good game of Frogger for my 80s people who listen to this. Young people don't know what Frogger is.
Yeah, no, you'll have to tell me more about this Frogger video game that you speak of. I'm teasing. But so I do get a little bit overconfident, and I don't see a nail sticking out of this one board. And this board had about 10 nails in it, so I'm not exactly sure how I missed the nails. But I think I was just kind of distracted by answering questions for my buyer and talking with a listing agent that I just didn't see it. And my foot landed on one nail, and I heard this piercing sound followed by like a sharp pain. And I can't really describe the sound because it's tough to describe a sound. If you want, I can try. You want me to try?
I'm kind of horrified by the idea that you heard your Cole Haan shoes give in before you felt the pain in your foot.
Yeah, no, it was sad.
That's like hashtag expensive shoes pay for themselves.
They do. They do. And I have a whole great customer service on the Cole Haan side to tell you, but that could be another day. But anyways, yeah, the nail went through my shoe and through my foot. But meanwhile, nobody knows this because it's not like I just like let out a yelp or a scream. Like my buyer's asking me questions and the listing agent's kind of talking, and you know, we're close. We're not too far apart from each other. So they're close enough where they're in earshot. So nobody knows that I have a nail on my foot at this point. So I have to stop their conversation. I go, excuse me, buyer, and excuse me, listing agent, just to let you guys know, I think that I've stepped on a nail, and I just need to take care of this real quick. So I tell my buyer that they're going to be going in my back pockets. It's always fun, Lee, to have a buyer in your back pocket, right?
Dun-dun-dun. Absolutely.
Insert sound effect. But the little look of horror that the listing agent gave me when he saw that I had a nail in my foot was kind of like, What do you do? What do you do when you're the listing agent and the buyer agent has a nail in their foot? So anyways, I pull the nail out of my foot and I pull the board out of my foot because the nail's attached to the board and you know the whole setup there. Everything was attached. So I pull everything out and it didn't really hurt anymore. So I didn't really bother me. I was like, well, maybe it was just like a little scratch. So I carry on and I let the buyer know. I said, I'm okay, because everybody's concerned about me at this point, but the showing's not for me. The showing's for my buyer and the seller to, you know, help them figure out a way to get to an agreement. So I try not to make it about me, even though they keep asking about my foot. So I'm like, well, do you have any more questions, buyer? And the listing agent's like still in shock that I'm carrying on with this script of, you know, helping my buyer find a home. So then he starts answering the questions. And then I move because I hadn't moved after I took my foot out of the nail. And I look down and there's just a puddle of blood, a puddle of blood. And I said, you know, we might have to cut this short. Luckily, we were at the end of the showing and it was kind of like naturally dying down. But yeah, there was definitely a puddle of blood underneath the bottom of my shoe. So I said, all right, we'll close this up and we'll follow up later. Let me go see if I need to go to urgent care somewhere, because I don't know. I haven't been to now this is on the podcast, so the whole world's going to hear it. But I haven't been to a doctor in a long time. And I don't really know.
We don't expect you to go to the doctor. Men never go to the doctor. And all my ladies are like, because y'all are terrible.
We should go to the doctors more often for regular checkups. But I don't know. Life gets busy. But anyways, I had to find medical cards and everything. But long story short, I didn't go to urgent care. I carried on with my showings. We had three properties look at that day. And I was like, by golly, we're going to go see them. And we did, because the bleeding had stopped at that point. And we carried on, and I have a happy client.
And you now also know the proximity of urgent care to this listing. I mean, that neighborhood, that's got to be good information.
Oh, very much so, because that's what everybody needs to know. It's one of the top questions. Where are medical facilities located?
If you're dealing with retirees, it absolutely is. Young people don't generally ask as much as older folks do, and definitely women ask more than men. Let's just call that what it is. But
So,
do you now carry a medical kit in your car, or spare shoes, or Band-Aids, or any of that stuff?
Well, so it's funny that you ask. I always do. I've always had a first aid kit in my truck. It sits right in the glove compartment. And even when I get a nail put through my foot, it sits unused. I don't know why. I just didn't think twice to go get it. It was sitting in my glove compartment. I hopped on my tailgate and I took my shoe off. And the listing agent was there too. He was like, I want to see this. I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yeah. I said, you're not going to get, you know, kind of like woozy on me. I don't want you to pass out, because I didn't know what I was looking at. And my sock was really bloody. It was definitely not a pretty sight, but it had stopped bleeding by the time I got back to my truck. So I could have carried on with the showing. But yeah, no, he was okay with it. I lost the sock as a result. There was a hole in my sock. I still have the sock if you want a picture of it.
I'm good. Yeah. Okay. But you know, there is a Tuesday people use it hashtag sock game. So maybe you can put out your sock game sometime and see how people react to that. And maybe it would be positive. I don't know.
Because I told my lender friend driving home, because, you know, you have a select group of people that you can share that type of story with on demand. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a very select audience. And I almost didn't reply to your email when you're asking if you have a crazy story to tell, let me know. I almost didn't reply. Because it's a select group of people that can find humor in this unfortunate situation. But I called him, and the only thing that he could relay me to was, I guess there was a pitcher. I don't know if you watch baseball or if you follow baseball, but apparently there was a pitcher that pitched a couple years ago, and he had like a bloody shoe. And he was like doing a great job at the baseball game, but all the announcers and all the fans could talk about was this bloody shoe.
Well, I mean, it's the reality of, and of course, baseball is my sport. I don't know that particular moment, but I'll have to look it up. But if you think about how our business operates, you actually want to make sure people understand this story and what you do for them, because as realtors right now, in some of our markets where the inventory is at such low levels, it could almost be considered a crisis, especially in the affordable price ranges. As a realtor, if you don't get your people under contract, they may miss the house. And not that they are cold-hearted and don't want you to get medical attention, but you and I both know, if you spent a day and a half at urgent care and they missed the house and then you couldn't replace it, there's so many pieces that fall apart. So professionals learn how to soldier through. And it's like, you don't expect that in pre-licensing. I'm pretty sure nobody told you, hey, you might step on a nail, ruin your good Cohan shoes, and have to stand in a puddle of blood till you sell the house. And you might have said, I ain't doing real estate if that's the case. But here you are 4 years in, committed to it. And this is what the commitment looks like. And we are not always able to be dressed up and looking perfect all the time. And this is a classic example of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I totally agree. And it was not covered. This scenario was not covered in my pre-licensing course.
But you know, the other thing that I like about your story is it actually showcases how realtors do look after each other. Because the listing agent, while they do want to work with you on putting a deal together, didn't leave you because they wanted to make sure that you were physically okay. And deals work so much better for the buyers and sellers when the realtors remember that they're humans and get along with each other. And I love that part of your story. I mean, yeah, the guy's totally wanting to look at your foot, but wasn't going to leave you and, you know, potentially have you get more hurt. And to me, that speaks volumes. And we need to be talking more about that in our daily realtor lives about how these colleague and co-broke relationships can change the game for our clients as well as for ourselves.
I 100% agree with you.
And it looks like it's Kurt Schilling, by the way. I had to Google it while we were talking to see who had the bloody foot. Is Kurt Schilling.
Who's also one of my favorite
people on Twitter because he's completely unfiltered, which I just really love unfiltered people. But okay, so anyway, Peter, if anybody is looking to buy or sell a property in Frederick, Maryland, and they want the realtor who not only buys good shoes, but will sacrifice those shoes for their real estate needs, how can they find you?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or go to my Facebook business page at P. Murray Realty, and that's P-M-U-R-R-A-Y Realty. I'm a realtor with RE/MAX Results, very active in the local realtor association, and I have a website, centerfoldhomes.com.
Okay, so that's hilarious, and I would take that in a whole different direction if it weren't the end of our podcast, but I'm pretty sure all of my listeners are going to go click on your website now. And if you, by the way, were listening to this episode and not sitting near your computer like myself, never fear, because all of Peter's contact information and links and all that fun stuff will be in the show notes for this episode. Peter, thank you for coming on to share your story. And now you can't say it's this one you tell to your special friends because we told everybody. But I do wish you all the success in the world, and make sure you visit those Cole Haunt outlets because, you know, they have some killer deals and you can get a spare pair of shoes to have in your car.
Hey, Lee, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on your show.
And if you're listening to this episode and you've got your own crazy story to share, whether you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or an actual homeowner who bought and sold property, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the networks, and I'd love to feature you in a future episode. So make sure you subscribe for more, and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.